Fuck, did you pick up the new Zelda?
I'm not a big fan of Zelda, I'll be honest. I never really got too big into it. That was never really my thing.
Everyone I know is playing the new Zelda game, and I just don't. I don't know, man. It's like when everyone bought fucking Cyberpunk, and I was like, it's gonna be shit. And
Yeah,
it
it
was
was.
shit. I called it 3 years when it got announced.
Yeah,
Everyone kept
fair.
telling me, oh, it's gonna be fantastic. You know, I even told called my one buddy because he told I remember him telling me about Cyberpunk and how great it's gonna be. And I remember like years ago when he told me the same whole thing about fucking No Man's Sky. I called him like a couple weeks after Cyberpunk came out. I'm like, so it No Man's Sky dude did it? And he's like, it's good now. They patched it. I'm like, yeah, that's what I hear about No Man's Sky. It's good now after they patched it, worked
Right,
on it
took
some
all
more.
this time. Hey,
He's
I heard 76 might be good in another like 2 years, maybe. My dumb ass pre-ordered that game. Yep, boy, I had a feeling it was gonna be bad.
every EA game that comes out, I will not buy it at least a year after launch.
Yeah, it's the
Even
best way to do it.
Ubisoft, it started to do that. Like Ubisoft used to be a great company that I could like buy games right
Yeah,
away.
no, just you have to wait till
A
like
year.
the full content has like come
A
out
year.
and like they've patched out all their garbage.
A year. It's always a year. Whatever it comes out, my first thought is it should have been delayed a year.
Yeah.
It should have been. It always should have been. And like the excuse is, I needed to get it out for money. I'm like, no, you would have made more money just putting it out.
PewDiePie, please make a good game.
Like, the fact that indie games are getting a better rep for actually making full quality games than AAA developers, that just makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because like it doesn't take much to recoup a really solid game. That's why I'm really excited for Dragon Age 4.
Oh, I'm sure you are. Oh, this is gonna be so good. Oh,
I love the
probably.
Dragon Age series.
EA game, right?
BioWare, it's not the same.
EA
They
game, right?
it was for a time when they had Dragon Age 2 was an EA game.
It
Dragon Age
was.
3 Inquisition was not.
Actually, you know what's funny though? I gotta say, I've played all three. I've beaten one. One was okay. Two was my favorite. And then I have Inquisition. But I just can't I can't bring myself to play it. Like I keep trying, but it just reminds me of this horrible MMORPG I used to play called Rift. And it's just there's
For me,
just
it's like I enjoy the whole series. It's not just quite about the games individually,
Well, I loved the
because a lot of your stuff
story.
carries over, right? That's kind of the
Yeah.
big sell of the game.
No, I love the story. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, that's why I loved The Witcher. When I played all three Witchers and I kept my story and like I like no, I loved The Witcher for that too, but there's just something like I couldn't bring myself to beat Inquisition. And then when Origins came out, I just never got it.
Yeah, well, the only Inquisition was the latest one. That was the last one. They're working on the fourth one soon, which
You beat
I'm.
Inquisition though, right?
Oh yeah, I platinumed that. I got every
How
trophy.
does it
I
end?
100% of the
Have you
game.
slept with every
Well,
person? You have to sleep with everyone.
you don't have to,
My
but.
character was a big like I'm just my character was a female Qunari, like those big horn girls, and she was a
Yeah.
lesbian. Big
Nice. I did
yeah.
that. I actually did that too. Is I tried to do that as like my really evil playthrough. I did this like really angry necromancer, slut who like hung out with the crazy elf chick that was all about like starting trouble. It was great. But like the game kind of ends like you go after this magister, who apparently like you learn in the game was one of the few that started this
It's the
major
head of the
event in the
Inquisition,
history.
isn't it?
No, it's not. You actually do find the head of the Inquisition at one point, in the
Oh.
DLC. Well, actually, you're the head, but you find the head of the first Inquisition because this is the second one.
Yeah.
And the first Inquisition, he's actually frozen in time, holding a god, an avatar of a god stuck in place. It's just this ancient dragon possessed by the spirit, essentially. And it's, like, a tough fight, but... he's essentially, like, the magister that you kill at the end. He's part of this major religious event that essentially brought apart the plague, which are, like, the blights, to the world.
Oh, okay.
And... He himself is infected with it himself, and has his dragon somewhat infected with it. And then you learn about this stuff. Mages use like mana potions and stuff, right? But there's different colors to it. There's a blue mana, and then there's like a red that they recently discovered, which is corrupted and can infect you. Like this, it's infected with this plague essentially. And essentially, it turns you into a giant block of like the mana crystal that it becomes essentially over time.
Okay.
So you become a living like crystal stuck in place.
Okay. But
it turns out all of that is actually the blood of these giant like stone golems that are essentially the physical world.
The world is a bunch of stone golems?
Yes.
That's actually pretty badass.
Because they're all like different floating landmasses, right? And there's seas and everything, and each landmass is essentially a floating golem.
And they're alive?
Yes.
Do they, like, fight each other?
That's something that people have been hoping to see in the next one, because you just found out about them. And you just found out, like, they've been around before prehistory, essentially.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, but they, like I said, this is how you found out about them.
They're these massive golems that live underwater, and whatever
and bit of them that's... Their backs and their shoulders are pretty much, they're, like, popping out of the ground.
Yeah. But how fast? They can't move very fast then.
No, they actually, essentially the dwarves are made of the blood of their children, and they live inside of these titans and are essentially mining them away, but they also take care of them in a sense in that regard. They can't let the stone keeps growing, but it also has to be mined away. It's weird. I don't know.
That's actually so cool.
It gets very interesting. You find out the elves before were fighting against the dwarves because they were trying to just harvest all of their blood for the magic, essentially,
inside and use it for their spells.
Yeah, so they were having an elf war between the elves and the dwarves.
So they wanted to kill the golems.
Yeah, because they built all of their towns with magic, so they would have floating cities and stuff like that. Like,
so they wouldn't care if all these giant golems sunk beneath the water.
Exactly.
But that they must move slow, because if they're alive and they're the size of a continent, I'd imagine.
Yeah, the idea is it's as the planet drifts, it's essentially the golems moving, essentially, right?
That's actually freaking so cool.
Yeah, I learning about it blew my mind. Like, I thought it's super awesome in the game, and then the elves ended up having some infighting, which essentially caused. One of the a person that was in between, like a Loki character, essentially, he separated all the magic from the world, essentially, and he split it into what is essentially they called the Fade, but it's like the dream realm,
when humans came about, right?
And this is where all the spirits and demons would live, and when you dream, you would go there. And then when he cast the spell, he fell into a coma for thousands of years.
So I see.
And then that's the elf you meet in Inquisition that's trying to help you. He just woke up.
He just woke up.
Yeah. And the thing that's used to tear open the sky is his artifact that he gave to this magister because he was too weak to unlock it.
And so the magister just used it for evil.
Yeah, he used it on like the most holiest, like their pope, essentially. During a time of peace talks between a war between Templars and mages, during their peace summit conference, he pretty much had this extermination force of the plague kidnap everyone in the thing and then sacrifice her and blow it up. But then your character in Inquisition interrupts it. And that's how you can close all these rifts down with this crazy magic artifact.
I thought that was the end of Dragon Age 2.
No, Dragon Age 2 is the start of the Mage War.
And you never get to see it.
Yeah. you hear about it in Inquisition. You kind of see it a little bit in Inquisition at the beginning of the game, but it ends kind of quickly after the first act.
Yeah, because the end is so epic. You go to the palace and it just explodes because the paladin has just become militaristic.
And yeah, so she's using a sword that's embedded with this red lyrium, which is the blood of the corrupted titans, right? And then she turns into the crystal of one, essentially, right? But her sword remains.
So you get to fight her in Inquisition?
No, but you get to face other Templars. Depending on what you choose in the first game, or in the first choice, if you save the mages, you fight Red Templars. And then if you save the Templars, you fight, like, evil cult mages, essentially.
So no matter what, whoever you save, the other one gets Forsaken.
Pretty much. You can kind of save them, but it's not everyone. There's like, there's always a bad. There's no way to do it for everyone.
I think I picked both. Like, I went back and did both endings where I saved the Templars and then saved the mages.
What essentially that first choice does, it sets up your, like, your semi-boss battle before the big fight that you have, like, just before the final quest. And it ends up being like your adversary, and it's this like elf mage or this other red Templar that your Templar used to know, and you see him in other games too.
Just
you see him in number two.
Used to know.
Yeah, and he gets like super crazy crystal like armor, and it's you have to do like a whole quest to break it.
Used to know. I don't need your love.
And when your character gets further on in Inquisition, you find a well to one of these elven, essentially gods, one of the leaders of these elven races, which they used to be slavers, essentially. So they had like a higher class, and they considered themselves gods for being magic casters.
I mean, and all this sounds so cool, but
it's amazing. But it takes a bit to get through and understand and look into it. Like
hearing all this and way explain it, I can see why The Witcher did better in the end.
Fair enough.
Like,
I mean,
The Witcher,
it's a whole different story.
It is, but in way less storytelling. Like, I can hear what you're saying, but it's still, the world still feels small. Think about the Witcher.
There's a lot more to it, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Is like everything you learn in The Witcher just makes the world bigger.
That's kind of how it is for Dragon Age as well, because there, everything you learn kind of shatters a different thing that you thought was bad. Like in Origins, you pass the plague, right? It's supposed to be world-ending event.
Just sounds like M. Night Shyamalan was like jerking off in the Dragon Age story in the Dragon Age story bin.
No, it's a little bit better than that.
another twist.
No, there aren't a lot of twists. They're pretty straightforward, I'll be honest. Some of them, like, they're really cool. Like, the dwarves learn how to make metal golems, but they end up having to use the souls of the people who to make them, essentially. And what? They end up, this whole kingdom ends up, this dwarvish king essentially takes all of his criminals and all of his slaves to become this golem force to protect their kingdom against the plague. And you get to make a decision if you want to bring back the artifact to do it, or if you want to kill its creator that was defending it and wants to see it destroyed. And if you do give it to them, it sets up a whole thing for the dwarves. Like, they have a whole new powerhouse, but they're using this, like, morally object kind of, like, object, right?
So?
It's up to you, right? That's the whole point. I've used it in some of my playthroughs. It depends.
What happens in the end? Do you get a giant golem army?
You do, actually. You get a... When you fight always. In Origins... In the Origins, you get to call on... I think you have six golems, and they're pretty fucking beefy that you can just call on at any time.
In Origin, you just get to call on six fucking golems. Yeah, why wouldn't you do that?
Oh yeah, I did that too. My first game through too. Plus, then like they have the choices in Origins to you get to save elves or you get to save werewolves. And like if you help the werewolves, you get a werewolf army. Yeah, and then if you help the elves, you get elves with bows and a lot less of them. So like, why the fuck wouldn't I take the werewolves, dude? Like, are you crazy?
Like, how many battles? Oh man, Dragon Age is so tedious with its battles too.
To be, it's not at the end game. It's a little different. It's just one like encounter on the map, and then you can call in reinforcements that show up to support you in the fight. And then when you go to a new encounter, you can call in different reinforcements.
Still though, like to have any kind of backup in any of the
battles. Because you actually in the end game for Origins, don't you? If you, I don't know if you beat it, you have to go through that entire castle away, right? And a lot of times you essentially have to kill this dragon at the top of this castle that you're defending, and you have to climb all your way through the entire city and up to the castle. And it's like there's an each encounter in different like sections of the city. And like you end up having, you can do a split side quest if you have your extra, if you have, still have more than your regular amount of companions, you can leave a command, like a second in charge in your commander, like in your companions, and they'll stay back and fight a huge wave of fucking darkspawn. That actually makes a difference in the battle later on. You don't fight as many if you do, if you have them hanging out.
Yeah, if you're more, you can have more. Nah. Well, I mean, if you, if I could have more than four companions, yeah, no doubt.
Well, you can have only four with you, but you can find like 10 or 12, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you have those companions, they'll stay at the front of the city and they'll block off the reinforcements from the, that are supposed to come to it.
I always the, look for the all the companions in those games. So useful.
Yeah, they're awesome.
But like I was saying, if I could, any point in that game, if I can call any kind of backup, like meat shields, just meat shields, Jesus. Because like, the one thing that game teaches you is action economy. Because if you are not on top of your action economy, you like, I, the one thing I hated about Dragon Age is there was very, 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 very few battles where I got to play in real time. Because if I played in real time, my mage would always attack the wrong thing, and the fighter would aggro the wrong thing, and then
my pet would for an Inquisition, it was really good that they brought in that, because a lot of times they kind of had like a pause thing, but it wasn't quite so...
Well, that's why I loved Dragon Age 2 and Inquisition, is you had the pause button, and you could pause every second. So every second, I would literally be sitting there, pause, set up everyone's attacks and next move, unpause, everyone does it, pause, do it again.
I wouldn't do that. I was pretty on top of my... I would have a lot of things that my characters would use, and then I would just watch their cooldowns, and I would just switch between them during...
No way. Some of the hardest... I was able to do some of the hardest battles at a level I shouldn't have been able to do it at because action economy. That's how I got so good. That's why
I didn't use it that much, I'll be honest.
That's why when we started playing D&D and Jeremy kept looking at me and giving me character sheets, he just kept, he asked me, he's like, are you sure you can control all these? I'm like, yeah, you don't understand. You don't understand how good I am with action economy. We're all level one, but we're fighting a level 20... A CR 20 demon? How many people do I have? 50? Yeah. Oh, we win. What? Oh, we win.
Good chance on that one, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for our sessions, I think the future twist kind of caught me off guard, I'll be really honest, because I had a lot of ideas and plans that were driven around setting up the city. Like we had kind of like had in mind,
but Jeremy told me, he needed us to do something.
I know. Yeah, we were kind of doing things, but
it wasn't.
I know, yeah,
it wasn't about destroying the city. It wasn't about our NPCs. From the way he just told me is he was just getting tired of playing like for 3 weeks, and each session 6 hours, and we've done. All in all, one thing.
Yeah, I know.
And we've spent literally 18 hours of...
Well, that's because we a lot of times we were already so divided, so everyone was kind of doing a lot of their own stuff.
That's
and
why...
Yeah. Having these extra minions kind of fielding for us, we never needed to really do too many things by ourselves together. It was a lot of times just...
No, it felt like being an actual noble.
Yeah. No, I had a lot of things in mind for, like, things going further for that, and, like, it completely caught me off guard. I had a lot of things go out the window. Some things still could kind of work, but my whole idea was we were pretty much building villains at our own, like, lair for a potential future party to come across.
That's what I thought. I thought he was going to, like, throw a party, and then he did, apparently, in that Paladins. He threw six He threw six Paladins, all level 6 and one level 10. Okay. And he said they just got raffle stomped. They just got like he's like that was him trying to throw a party into our town.
Well, that's where we had to actually have armies start to come to our town, right? Like, and we would have had to deal. Down with that. We would have had to deal with like
that army
each part was like a swarm of dudes. You know, each mini was like 50 dudes.
See what
dudes
happened when he tried to invade our town. I took the BBEG, strapped it in chains, and dragged it into the church.
Oh, I know. It was wonderful. Like, it was I like the idea of it because it also kept Jeremy on his toes to some degree, and we were causing shit to get really weird and out of hand. Of course, things were... I expected things to bounce back, of course, because there's only so many times that you can do the stupid shit that we're doing and have something not kind of blow up in our face. Like I was actually kind of excited in the sense that I'd blow up the town. I wasn't really happy that we lost the people that we lost, but at least I expected my experiments to cause us drama. I didn't want it to be, like, big drama, but something, you know? It's within our own city, and it's our own problem, and we can fix it, no problem.
We're talking about our D&D, by the way. We play D&D together, obviously, and we run our villains campaign. His character is the mad scientist, Illithid. I am the small warlock pope slash cult leader.
That's the new pope.
Yep. Everyone keeps saying I should have been a cleric, but if you think I should have been a cleric, you don't understand warlocks. Warlock and cult leader just works.
I think you could be both. Depends on your wisdom, to be honest.
That's the point, is I don't have to.
You don't have to, yeah.
That's the point, is you'd have to go into your wisdom. My character does have a high wisdom, but not as high as my charisma.
Mm. Well, that's where it could be like a small thing. Like, I think... it could also show in a sign of your character of how your patron essentially has gotten to divine status, right? You start getting cleric levels. And that could be a sign of, like, having divinity directly given to you.
Yeah.
It's a little different. But you still
I
have
also culture. Love my invocations. Are you kidding? I just got
first invocation. I don't know,
I'm so excited to use it. Get two cantrips a turn. That means...
You know... That was me shots. When I leveled up, man. And I got the meta magic feat, and then the first time I go to use the meta magic, I set off an alarm in the city.
That was funny.
I was how like, I saw it. I did, but I was like, I was sent here to do a thing. So I mean, let's do the Taven thing and see what happens. Like, and then I figured as much, shit was gonna go sideways. But I. And Sarah was like, sure, he was really happy. So I'm like, well, I mean, I'm sure he got a good time out of it. I'm like, I'm more curious to just see what would happen.
Oh, you should have seen his face. When you said it, you should have seen his face just light up. We all just looked at him. He's like, here we go. All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we have hit the hour. Sorry this wasn't really directed, but I mean, if you were here, thanks for watching. Sorry you had nothing better to do.
Still stream, doing our thing, you know?
Yeah, man. Sorry about the asshole in chat. Thank you for deleting it, moderators. Otherwise, I was C4 with my good friend and pal, Insaniac. This was just, you know, chit-chat shot talk show. I might actually put this on the podcast.
Casual chat Sundays.
I might actually put this on the podcast. Otherwise, catch us on podcast, The Villains Talk Show and podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts. We also
look forward to us growing and getting better, because that's all we're going to do.
Look up The Villains Talk Show. I've honestly cornered the market on that name, so only we show up.
We are just going to get better and better, and we want everyone here to be part of it as we go.
We're definitely going
to
keep growing.
Absolutely.
Don't put goals that we can't achieve.
It's a still pretty vague goal. I wasn't being too specific. We'll get better.
Oh, I hope.
You say it, so you change out. Credits roll. We hope.